Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 17th of January, recording at 9:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, a somewhat quieter day here in the markets because of Wall Street being closed for the Martin Luther King holiday. But the main message coming from Asia, we had rallies, and some of them were not bad at all. The Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which has taken a beating recently, up nearly 1%. And moderate strength across the boards, the way I would describe it. Europe, also moderate gains here also across the board. And last Friday's close on Wall Street would have helped a bit. Now, I think most of us would agree that the best game in town over the last few months, at least right up until year-end, happen to be long positions in various different global stock markets, and especially in the emerging markets, which had really been on a particularly strong romp since those very important mid-August 2004 upward dynamics that triggered the last stage of the stock market rally that we have seen, which, on the basis of some charts at any rate, still continues. Question marks hang over some of the other trends, as you know from earlier comments of the day and previous broadcasts. But I am increasingly of the view that this overall stock market structure is in trouble. Remember my best case scenario mentioned throughout the Indian summer period here in the West at any rate, and the autumn and right on through Christmas, was that the global stock market rally would carry well into the first quarter of this year. Well, some indices may well do that, others not so much so, and I've been concerned, or less likely, and I've been concerned about the negative divergences that I've been pointing out. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if maybe a number of these stock markets picked up again and retested their highs. I'm talking about the ones that have lost form, and inevitably some of those will push a bit higher. But will we get another big run on the upside in global stock market indices, particularly in the leaders that had done so well during the last quarter and a half of 2004? Well, I very much doubt that. Anything's possible, but I think that's really highly unlikely. And the main reasons for that much more cautious to turning bearish argument, and when I say to turning bearish, I'm not dithering on this, it's just a matter of time. In terms of opening some hedge short positions and talking, as I have in comment of the day, about my view that the next big leveraged money-making opportunity is likely to be stock market shorts, even if that call is right, it could be very expensive to be too early. So even if the call is right, and there's no guarantee that it is, then it's very, very important to be able to time most of one's positions when the supply-demand balance is clearly shifting in one's favor, because a sufficient weight of money is concurring with the view that I'm now expounding. And that's not the case at the moment. Okay. Now, what about late runners? And I wrote about five of those in the comment of the day and illustrated them. Not surprisingly, Thailand was among them. They're all Asian, as you may have already seen. And Thailand is my favorite, and I was pleased to see that that Aberdeen New Thai Fund, which is up about 15% in the last couple of weeks, but I was pleased to see that that was up another 2.75 pence here today, up to 114. I've been saying that I thought it was a cinch that this would get up to, well, nothing's a cinch, I should choose my words more carefully, but that it certainly looks like testing the 120 area, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that pushed right on up through that level and the former high, which is a little bit higher. So I'm still quite happy with that, provided we don't get a Wall Street collapse. But you know the reasons. I won't elaborate on that anymore in here. But what really does concern me is the prospect of a reduction in global liquidity. Now, you've heard me say that before, and I'll probably go on repeating it on a daily basis. If global liquidity is now contracting, that is bearish for all the markets that have done very well. And I do mean all the markets that have done very well. Stock markets have done very well, so it would be bearish for them. It ought to be bearish for a number of these government bond markets that have done exceedingly well. It would be bearish for the dollar carry trade. Well, stock markets are part of that dollar carry trade. It would be bearish for the supply inelasticity trades that have done well, and those are mostly industrial commodities, in terms of tightening the leash, because liquidity sloshing around the system has been one of the main factors helping to boost those markets as well. It would be bearish for some of these hot property markets around the globe. And it might in time even be bearish for the art market. Indeed it would be, but that might well be the last one to be hit, because that's where you've got the least liquidity and people tend to buy in that to market for quite a long term basis. So we really do need to be careful about this. And in reading some of my copy over the last fortnight or so, I get a little bit concerned that investors may say, well, you know, are you trying to run with the hare and hunt with the hounds in here? And it may well seem that way. In other words, staying long my Asian investments, although I lightened there a little bit when I closed down my Nikkei stock average futures position. But I'm not, you know, I don't think it's all one-way traffic and then immediately into a reversal, because we haven't seen this sort of acceleration that would lead to that type of a dramatic sudden reversal. But as you know, I think we're in the end game here as far as this stock market rally is concerned. But the big story here, which would be behind that and just about everything else, which would be global liquidity. And those warnings from the Fed, when you've seen those before in Comment of the Day, and you've no doubt seen them elsewhere, and I take those very, very seriously indeed. Okay, in terms of currency markets, and now as far as the carry trade is concerned, lots and lots of leveraged dollar bear positions, and are those going to be all sort of chopped around and closed all at once? Well, no, but what we are seeing is that people have been closing their euro longs and their sterling longs, and also some of the other Western reserve currency longs against the US dollar, and they've been shorting, rather than buying the dollar, they really appear to have been shorting the dollar against Asian currencies. So all the Asian currencies, or all the ones that I looked at, and to me all the major ones that aren't pegged to the dollar, are really strong in here. I'm thinking of things like the Taiwan baht, the Taiwanese dollar, the Korean won, and so the Indian rupee. These are all very strong in here right now. Even one that had been historically quite weak, the Philippine peso, that's rallied in the last week or so against the U.S. dollar quite sharply. So we're getting a rotation, and the fashion is to be long the Asian currencies. People have been promoting that pretty aggressively recently. Okay, in terms of the metal markets, well, these are mostly closed. So the LME markets were open. Tin's flirtation with the backwardation has not persisted. I'm looking at a $10 contango now, and something that's at 7,450, down 50 here today, by the way. That's not a big deal. But the other metals, the LME metals, mixed. Some small gains, small losses. Now, you know, this has been a hot area, and it's been a favorite sector of mine, but I've really got to moderate my bullishness. Well, I had already, because the chart action has been pretty choppy in recent weeks, and you could say recent months. And with these bungee jumping declines and then rallies back up to the highs before another bungee jump, and I think that this prospect for tightening of global liquidity, again, that creates a headwind for this area, even though I suspect demand to remain strong, and I expect many of these to remain in backwardation. The current backwardations are copper, aluminium, nickel, and lead, and reasons. Now, there's the obvious one of China's demand, and that's going to remain high. I think right on through to the Olympics, although it may not grow as fast in percentage terms this year and next year and in 2007 as it did, say, in the last 2 years. But we're still talking about heavy and rising demand, and big demand coming from India as well. And if the U.S. manages to chug along at a growth rate of somewhere between 3% and 4% in a bit, then there'll be plenty of demand there as well. So I think this will continue, but it takes that really abundant liquidity to cause all boats to rise, as they say, and that's what's changing. So I think we're going to need to be more selective, and in terms of these supply and elasticity trades, to really only consider buying after setbacks. Now, that's usually good advice for any market, but we have seen some times with these supply and elasticity markets where they just really took off and the surprises were on the upside. Well, too often now the surprises are on the downside in terms of speed, if not magnitude, of the overall move. Oil prices, they had already seen quite a significant shakeout and really remain firm in here right now, as you know. And I looked at the UK contracts, which really take their cue from the US, but they were pretty steady in here today. And that's not really good news for global stock markets either, but I don't think people will really start to focus on crude oil until it's pushed back above the $50 level. But say that that U.S. crude NYME closed on Friday at 48.38. All right, all the best to all of you. Bring on tomorrow.